Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Psalm 91 this morning. How many of you are ready to hear the word of the Lord? Psalm 91. We're going to take a look at this, and I'm going to read it all the way through, the entire psalm. This has been in my spirit the last 2 weeks. I've been dissecting this, reading this over and over again, breaking it down, asking the Father to just give us insight, wisdom, revelation through Psalm 91, but also just that it would be an anchor in our heart that in uncertain times we can trust the Lord, knowing that Jesus is our answer and he's the one that we gain victory from, living in him. And so Psalm 91, we're going to read this together. If you have your Bible, you can turn it there with us. If not, you can just listen and follow along. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid by the terror that flies by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's a good word. It's a governing psalm. It's a psalm that I believe right now needs to govern our heart, our mind, our spirit, our soul. I want to break this down to you this morning. I want to talk to you about this psalm and how I believe the Lord is speaking not just to this house, the Summit, but to the body of Christ, knowing that there are blessings that come from God, but there's a dimension of living in Christ that we have to posture ourselves in order to not just obtain, but sustain the blessings and the grace that Christ wants to pour out on his church and on his people. Talks about in the song a place called a secret place. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place. Friend, I want to tell you the secret place is more than a place. It's a person. Let me say that again. The secret place is more than a place. It's a person, and that person is Jesus. The name of the Lord, the Bible says, is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and there they're saved. You know, there's a scripture that Jesus says in John, and he says, you can ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Anything in my name. We've taken that scripture, and we've, over time, used it as saying in the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer, becoming an addendum at the end of a prayer, and that's not necessarily what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't saying when you bless your food that to staple it and to end the prayer, say in Jesus' name. Although I think that's good, in actuality what Jesus was saying, he's saying if you're in me and I'm in you, you can ask anything when you're in me, when you're in my name. That's why this puts a whole nother revelation to the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it. The name of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, it is the secret place. When you run into Christ, you are safe. You are in the secret place. And it says that when you dwell there in the secret place of the Most High, when you dwell in this posture of being seated with Christ, that's that place that you're coming under the shadow of the Almighty. Even the name of God here is so key in this psalm in understanding your position of beloved and found seated with Christ. In Psalm 91, it says that we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This reference of God, of Almighty, this reference of His name, Almighty, here is actually from the name Shaddai, El Shaddai, which literally means God of the mountain, God of the destroyer of enemies, God the sufficient one, God the nurturer of babies, God the Almighty. You think, how can that name Shaddai, or when we read this in the English, it says, well, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a big statement for several of these names. You know, in Israeli language and in Hebrew language, there's certain phrases that have so many meanings, and they're almost like a two-folded coin many times. A lot different than our English language. And our English language sometimes can be very narrow in our descriptive nature of something. For example, this word is a great example of that, how we use the English word Almighty here for Shaddai, Almighty. And Almighty is a very blanket, general statement, but there are deeper meanings to the name of God here in Shaddai. And in Hebrew language, differences don't contradict one another, kind of like they do in the English language. They build upon one another. They don't contradict one another. So this name of God, Almighty or Shaddai, literally means God of the mountain. And at the same time means God, the destroyer of enemies. You got to understand, this is how in Hebraic language they would hear this. Not two contradicting statements or two opposites of His nature. They all go in together in this one name of God, of Shaddai. God of the mountain. God, the destroyer of enemies. God, the sufficient one. God, the nurturer of babies. And God, the Almighty. And this is who we're running into. This is who covers you with His wings. This is the shadow that is providing strength for you, nurturing for you, shade for you, rest for you, peace for you. It's the Almighty. It's the Shaddai. And it's in Him that is our secret place. So I want you to get that. The secret place is not just a place, it's a person. And that person is Jesus. The person who trusts in God. Listen to this statement, friend. The person who trusts in God is the one that lives close to God. In fact, I can tell your level of trust by your proximity. When you trust in yourself, oftentimes you'll distance yourself from the Spirit of God, from His presence, because it's a sign that you're actually putting more trust and emphasis in your own strength and your own abilities and your own skill set. And we're living in days where your skill set won't get you through. We need the rest in the presence of Almighty God more than ever right now. We don't need great strength from men. We need the anointing in the Spirit of God that is covering the saints, covering the church, and that we're hiding in that shadow. Psalm 91 also talks about blessings that we have access to. And these are really what I want to get into a bit. And then I'm going to give you three truths out of Psalm 91. But first, we see seven blessings in this psalm that I believe are really powerful. But they talk about blessings that we can have access to. But you have to hear this. They are 100% conditional. Let me say this again. The blessings of God in Psalm 91 are 100% conditional. And I know that there's many people that believe that you have to do absolutely nothing but just receive God and Jesus and you get all His blessings. No, there's actually a part that you and I have to play to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And if you want to see these sevenfold blessings manifest in your life, it's a conditional blessing. I'm going to show you what I mean by that. You can see this also in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's a very powerful scripture, especially right now, pertaining to the signs of the times that we're in. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, it goes on to say, then I will hear their prayer. I will heal their land. In essence, what God's saying is there's a conditional blessing on that verse. If my people do this, then heaven will respond with this. Same thing we see here in Psalm 91. There's seven conditional blessings that you see. in verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 through 16, seven conditional blessings. Number one, the first one, you can see these in verse 14 through 16. Number one is he will deliver us. He will deliver you. Number two, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Number three, I will answer him when he calls on me. I will be with him in trouble. He will deliver, number five, and honor us. Number six, with long life, I will satisfy him. And number seven, I will show him my salvation. All of these are conditional based on the very first two verses of this passage of Scripture that says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. It goes on and gives all these descriptions of what the presence of God and the anointing of the Spirit of resting in Christ does for the believer. And I want to give you a couple of those as well. Three truths out of Psalm 91. If you're taking notes, three truths out of Psalm 91. Number one, God makes commitments to us when we make him our dwelling place. God makes commitments to us, to you, to me, to us collectively, corporately, when we make him our dwelling place. I want to tell you, God is calling many people right now out of the fringes, out of the perimeter of standing on the fringes of one step into his presence and the other foot kind of on the outside of the fence of living your life through your own strength and through your own means and through your own carnal way of thinking. He's calling you out of the fringes of trusting in yourself and in your own strengths. And he's saying, come to me into the secret chambers of my love. I want you to dwell there with me, you and I and you. This friend is beloved identity. He's calling you to him. I love this even right now in this hour of social distancing. We here at the Summit have been in a several month outpouring of the Spirit that has been absolutely phenomenal. We've watched numerous lives, thousands of lives transformed right here in this building in the last 3 to 4 months. Specifically in January, there was a new wine that was poured out and Jesus was beginning to show us a blueprint of a new wineskin. And I love that because it's a collective outpouring of the Spirit of God. I'm a person of revival. We're a church of revival. I have my passions in life are to see revival spread globally. And I believe that on the other side of this coronavirus epidemic, we are going to be postured as an apostolic people that are going to be able to see the glory of the Lord tangibly touch nations in the earth because of people's hearts that have been posturing in the secret place towards him. But we've been in a corporate season, an expression of revival. What this is forcing us to do, because you can ride the wave of corporate revival and don't have to put a demand on your own personal devotion or secret place with the Lord, and you can get away with it when God's moving corporately. But friend, when you're isolated and it's just you and God in your bedroom, you are confronted with sometimes the inward poverty of your spiritual bankruptcy and recognizing, I've been riding off a corporate wave, but friend, he wants to show up to you in your bedroom with tangible presence and power, just like he does in the corporate meetings. And this is the hour where God's putting pressure on that. And if you don't allow him to do it in the secret place, on the other side of this, when we come out of this, revival's going to take place. We're going to step right. It's not fragile. We're moving right back into the same flow corporately, but you'll be another person just riding the wave off of someone else's encounter. And Jesus is saying, get your own encounter with me. Come with me into the bride chamber and be with me. Let me speak to you. Let me touch you. Let me whisper to you in this hour because I want to share some of my secrets with my beloved. Friend, he wants to be the number one source of your entertainment in this hour, enjoyment, and source of pleasure. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? In his presence is the fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. There's a posture and a place in his presence that all other things seem invaluable. They fade away. All other lovers fade away, as we say so often around here. When you are just enamored and captured and captivated by the gaze in his eyes. And I'm saying for me and my house, this is what I want in this hour. Listen, it's easy to get in Netflix binge mode. It's easy to slip into just every night movie night and entertainment. And friend, this is a temptation of mine as well. But I'm asking the Father, grace us, mantle us with fresh passion and fire, that we launch ourselves into the secret place. Because listen, one thing that nobody can take away from you, that is choice. You have a choice. Listen, corporate revival may not be able to happen right now because of laws and government and things like that, where we may not be able to gather together yet. But nobody can take away the choice for you to shut your bedroom door and turn on some worship music and enter into the presence of Yahweh. And that's what he's after. Number two, this psalm, Psalm 91, gives the reader a sobriety of heart and mind. A sobriety of heart and mind. You know, the Bible talks about having a sober mind. And what this is talking about is the recognition of the hour that we're living in. You know, Peter was one of his, my spiritual father, my apostle, taught this years ago about Peter and one of his greatest mistakes in his life. And it was not cussing around a fire. It wasn't cutting off Malchus's ear. He believes this, and I believe this to be true, that the greatest mistake that Peter made was when he was found asleep in the garden. And the biggest mistake was in this whole posture, this whole picture of Peter and his posture of sleeping, was he did not recognize the hour that he was in. He did not recognize the hour that he was in. In essence, he had a slumber in his heart and mind, not an urgency in his heart and mind of recognizing the hour that he's in to be fully awake. And I'm telling you, there's going to be messengers that are going to provoke you. Messengers that are alarms. One thing about an alarm is an alarm doesn't apologize to you for inconveniencing you when you have to wake up. I set my alarm in the morning pretty early when I get up, and my alarm doesn't say, "Excuse me, Chris, I apologize for this. I don't mean to be so abrupt, but can you please wake up?" No, it doesn't do that. My alarm makes a loud, abrasive, unapologetic sound that is not convenient, but it's not meant to be convenient. It's meant to shock me out of sleep so that I can get up and wake up. And I'm telling you right now, friend, the church needs voices of power, of truth, of alarms, saying it's not an hour to be asleep. Recognize the moment that we're in. We're in the greatest time in history. It's a time for the church to shine. It's a time for the church to rise up in power and in victory. It's a time to see the dead raised. I'm telling you, you're going to see unusual and creative miracles flowing through live stream circumstances. I'm telling you, deaf ears are going to start opening up in bedrooms, in homes. You're going to start to see blind eyes opening up through live streams. I'm telling you, we're not moved by dimensions, time, or space. There is a live flow and a live stream, and the tangible power and presence of God is going to be available through it. If you can just posture yourself to say, "I receive Jesus, what you're wanting to say to me and what you're wanting to speak to me." Give us the alarms. Give us the messengers. Listen, they're not alarms of condemnation. It's not what I'm talking about. But it's the alarm out of voices of truth that say, "Wake up, church, and have eyes to see and ears to hear." We need eyes to see and ears to hear more than ever. So many of us are moved by the news and the media. We don't know what to believe. We don't know who to believe. We don't know what outlets and what experts to listen to, even in crisis like this. But I'm telling you, the world is looking for answers, and I believe the church has the answers. It's the anointing and the resurrection power and wisdom of Almighty God. It's the anointing of the Spirit. That's what we need. In Psalm 91, it's an alarm. When you read this, it's an alarm. When I read this, it wakes me up in my spirit, because all through this psalm, you're reading things about how he's going to deliver you from the snare of the fowler, talking about pestilence coming in the earth. Listen, this is pestilence. This isn't coronavirus. This is, He's talking about like stuff that wipes out the masses on large bubonic plague levels. And this is what the writer's talking about. And I'm not devaluing anything that's going on in the world, but one thing I don't want to do is exalt it above the name of Jesus. I'm going to exalt Jesus' name as victory. And he says this, every name in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth has to bow to the name of Jesus. And that means coronavirus too. That has a name and it has to bow. So I'm not going to over magnify, but I'm also not going to minimize. And that's not what I'm trying to do here. But in reality and context to Psalm 91, pestilence and plague, when it hits the earth, it says he will cover you with his feathers. He will surround you. You don't have to worry about social distancing. I know that we're going to obey the government and the authorities. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying be lawless. But what I am saying is you don't have to live in fear because you're too close to someone, because he's surrounding you with his wings. You're covered with the feathers of heaven. And we need that in this hour. It goes on to say, you don't have to be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. When you break that word down in the arrow here, it's actually talking about arrows that have been dipped in poison in the original language. You don't have to be afraid of the trap and the snare of the enemy trying to poison you and bring destruction to you. Number three, third truth in Psalm 91 that I want to pull out, is the secret place is where you find your identity and your purpose. It's where you find your identity and your purpose. You know, absent from the presence of the Lord, it is impossible to walk in who you are designed and created to be fully by God. Being in Christ, living in Christ, exposes to you who you are. And watch this, it also delivers you from being who you're not. I don't want to be anything other than what Jesus created me to be. I want to make sure that in this time of rest and posture in his presence, that there's moments and arrows from heaven that are gripping me, that are piercing my inward soul, transforming me and pulling out of me who I'm called to be. The secret place is where you find your identity and purpose. The Westminster Catechism, which was a theological school, would use a scholastic method of teaching theology through question and answer. Question and answer. For example, they would sit their students down in the classroom and they would teach and teach lessons by asking a question, and then the students would answer that question. So, for example, one of the ways that they were talking about the chief end of man is they would say, "What is the chief end of man?" And therefore, they would reply, "The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever." I love this statement because it's one of the most truthful statements to me that's impacted me outside of Scripture that talks about the purpose of mankind. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Friend, you are created to be fascinated by God. You are born and created to be fascinated with his nature, with his spirit, with his presence. And outside of that, it's impossible to know who you really are. We live in a culture where everyone and everything tries to tell you who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what you like to listen to, what you don't like to listen to. And friend, if you're not in his presence receiving his validation as your source, you will give in to the opinions of people all around you and become what the world thinks you should be. But when you live in him, friend, there is a fearlessness in you that strengthens your identity, that pulls your purpose out. What is that purpose? It's to glorify God and enjoy him all the days of my life. It's what we want. I want to give you also five byproducts of abiding. Five byproducts through this passage of abiding in his presence. Again, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, there's five byproducts that I believe we can see of abiding. Five things that I think that can take place in your life on the other side of this time of distance, of rest, of being at home, isolated with family. There's five byproducts that if we posture our heart in the secret place properly, that we can see some incredible, incredible fruit as a result. So byproducts of abiding. These are for me, these are some things that I wrote down of how I know that Chris Mathis is succeeding in the secret place when these fruits are coming out of my life of abiding. Number one, living a life of peace. Living a life of peace. When you're abiding in the secret place, there is a natural peace that flows through your heart, through your soul. It's the world would call it supernatural, but it's actually natural to you and I as we're created in the image of God. It becomes unnatural when we separate, and I'll get to that in a minute. But we live a life of peace, peace that surpasses understanding, guards our heart, guards our mind when we're dwelling in the secret place with the Father. That's important. Now, 4 weeks ago, I would have said it's important, but I'm telling you right now in crisis mode in nations, it is imperative that the church functions in a place of peace that only comes through dwelling in the secret place and abiding with Him. Number two, there's a grace for obedience that comes upon you when you're abiding in His presence. A grace for obeying God, His word, and obeying His still small voice. When you're in His presence, when you're abiding under His shadow, there is a supernatural grace that touches you and empowers you, and obedience becomes easy. It actually brings you great joy to obey God. Number three, favor follows you. I've never found a person or an individual that dwelt and spent the majority of their time with God in the secret place that did not have a great measure of favor following their life. A great measure of favor. You know, favor is absolutely essential to the believer because it's what we're going to need in the hour to come, in the hours and the days that are ahead, is the favor of God. We all need to grow and increase in our favor. You know, Jesus Himself, the Bible says, Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. This is the Son of God growing in favor with His Father. If Jesus had to grow in favor, how much more do we have to grow in favor? And how we grow in favor is by spending that time in His presence, making Him our final and most authority and pleasure in our life. Favor follows you. I believe this, that there is, it's not arrogance to know that favor's on you. It's actually wisdom. It's wisdom. I think it's false humility many times to deny or suppress the favor of God. Some of you even watching right now need to even say this. I am favored by God. Even saying it out loud. I am favored by God. Saying it sometimes out loud, verbalizing it, gets it out of just maybe a place in your mind where it may be in theory, but when you start to say it, you start to believe it. I am favored by God. It's something that I've said over my life for years. Nikki and I, we've had this discussion. I will unapologetically declare I am favored by God. And it's going to manifest in money. It's going to manifest in possessions. Not so that I can be rich or get more, but so that I can be a blessing to the world around me. I want to be the biggest giver in this church. I want to be the biggest, most generous person that I know. And I'm striving and making great lengths to learn to do that, but it only comes through peace and abiding in His presence, where I don't just hoard the favor, but I release the favor. I'm a conduit to get favor into other people's lives. I want to say this. It's very important. Church, hear me, especially Summit people. We are getting ready to face some economic hardships in Canada, in North America. And some of us with favor right now, it is very important that you do not leverage off someone else's misfortunes for your own gain. There's going to be property that's going to be very cheap. There's going to be people losing everything that are desperate. And it's important that you don't leverage to your benefit off of what they're having to let go of and struggle. Now, there will be things that the Father will speak and whisper that I do believe will be a great wealth transfer from wicked to righteous. But, however, let it be the whisper, not a heart of greediness that takes advantage of someone else. I'm telling you, what God wants to put on your life is a measure of favor to where if you can pay someone's mortgage, you have the ability to do it. To where if you can even pay off someone's house, because you know it wouldn't hurt you. And you could help take care of the widow, the orphan, and families that are struggling. Or maybe you're an employer and you own a business. And you know what? You're watching people in the household of God lose jobs. You can be a person to say, nope, not on my watch. I'm going to take care of the saints first before I take care of the wicked. If I could say it just frank. But we're going to make sure the house of God is taken care of through the favor on our life. And then the world comes looking and say, how are you doing this? How are you moving in this level of favor? And your testimony will be because the goodness of God sustained me, walked with me, talked to me, and showed me how to make the proper and wise choices that I've made to get this favor. And again, it all flows from His presence. Number four, revelation flows through you when you're abiding in His presence. Revelation. Scripture teaches us that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. The secrets of the Lord are with those who fear Him. Now, this isn't just preaching revelation. That's not what this is talking about. I know that every preacher listening to that is like, amen, I want more revelation. It's not necessarily what I'm talking about. It's not revelation or insight into the Word. It's the secrets of the Lord are with those who fear Him. It's answers to crisis in the nations. That's where revelation, wisdom comes in. It's where God starts whispering downloads to pharmaceutical companies and people that are chemists and scientists that love God and burn for God, and all of a sudden they get a download supernaturally of how to create medication that just destroys coronavirus. That's the secrets of the Lord. It's with those who fear Him. And we need people in all spheres of society and influence abiding in His presence, because we can trust the promise of the Father that He releases the secrets of the Lord to those who fear Him. Number five, the final byproduct of abiding is, again, you become secure in your identity. You're secure in your identity. So what are the five byproducts of not abiding? These are five byproducts I just gave you of what I believe your life can look like of this time of personal devotion and rest with God, this forced rest, so to speak. There's many of us that we've been in this posture of rest, and so this is easy for you. You're in a grid and in a pace that's just very easy. Those that haven't caught up to the rest lifestyle, you're having to condition yourself and force yourself to be at peace and be at rest. But I want to encourage you, do it. Yield to His Spirit, because these byproducts on the other side are going to cause a spiritual life that is prospering in your heart and in your mind. But if you don't, there's five byproducts of not abiding. Number one, a life of spiritual instability. A life of spiritual instability, where you're up here one minute, you're down here the next. You're up here one minute, down here the next. You're spiritually looking for answers, but your soul is craving things of the world more than it is the things of God. And you're like a schizophrenic roller coaster, back and forth every which way. That happens when we're not abiding. And that's not a medical condition. That's a human condition. That's what happens to the human, every human, when we're not in His presence. It's a life of spiritual instability. Number two, a struggle to hear and obey. Not just the rhema, but also the logos, to hear and obey the Word. When you're not in His presence, it becomes a little bit more difficult to obey God. Number three, you have to work hard in your own strength when you're not abiding to make things happen. This is the results of that measure of favor not being present on a life when you're outside of His presence and you're having to work hard. You're having to strive. You're having to make things happen the way you know how. And this is not the time or the hour to be living in that condition. It's the time and the hour to be leaning in, letting the favor of the Father rest on you, where you're moving in rest. You're moving at a pace and in a rhythm where just grace is covering you, saturating you. Goodness and mercy, they're following you. The feathers of the Almighty, they're covering you. And everything that you touch prospers. This is the hour that we need to posture ourselves to have that kind of fruit, not having to work in our own strength making it happen. I know this very well. I know this one. I know that when my devotion, my personal time with Jesus is not there, if I'm not getting the hours in the week that I need alone with God in my vehicle or in my office or at home, I start to recognize very quick that I have to work a little extra, putting work in my own strength to make things happen and move. But I have just seen too many times the goodness of God in my life personally, and I know many of you watching, you've seen this too, where you are just so saturated in Him that you can literally stand still and just rest and see the salvation of God move on your behalf. Come on, how many of you bear witness with that this morning? Number four, anxiety and fear are present in your heart. Anxiety and fear are present, and I'll say it like this, dominating in your heart and mind when you're living a consistent life of not abiding in the presence of God. Not abiding in the presence of God. I want to tell you right now, I've been saying this, I'm going to keep saying this, turn the news media off. Turn the news media off. I'm just going to give you my opinion. I don't trust any of them. They're all liars. They're all after ratings. They're all after money. They all want views, and they're going to tell you what promotes more views. And friend, it's fear. Fear sells. Fear sells. And that's what media is giving you. It's fear because it keeps you coming back for more, 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 more. When you're in the presence of Yahweh, your soul doesn't crave fear news. You crave good news. And I'm telling you, the good news is Jesus is alive. Jesus holds the keys of the kingdom. He's given them to you and I as the church. We have authority to bind in heaven and in the earth, to loose things in the earth. We have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I'm not going to waste my time by watching fear media news, fear-driven news, saturate my soul hearing some opinion that is totally contrary to the next news outlet and another expert and specialist. Get in the Bible, open the scripture, and declare the good news. I've got news for you. We win. We win at the end. Jesus is still alive. He's not on His throne freaking out. He's not upset. I believe what Jesus is doing is He's saying, come on, church. I died for more than just you to get to heaven one day. I died so that you can bring heaven to earth. Now release it everywhere you go. Everywhere the soles of your foot tread, I've given you. Release the kingdom everywhere you go. Amen? Could you imagine Jesus wearing a rubber mask and rubber gloves and stepping away 10 feet from people? Could you imagine Jesus doing that? I cannot. My Jesus is bigger than that. Jesus would touch leprous bodies, that skin-to-skin contact. There, you would automatically, if you didn't have the anointing and the power of heaven, that's a contagious disease. And Jesus was not moved by the contagious disease. He knew that the kingdom of His God were greater than the kingdoms of this world, and it was on the inside of Him. He knew that everything that I touch, I don't get what they have, they get what I have. There's a dimension of the anointing that I believe the church needs to start moving in, and it's not fear present and it's not fear driven, it's faith led, where we're led of the Spirit and we say, God, we know that You're with me. Friend, if you don't know that, get in His presence till you do. Don't be stupid. Don't be dumb and just start saying, in the name of courage, I'm going to do this. No, no, no. No, let faith lead you. Let faith drive you. Let it be faith in the secret place that causes your heart to come alive to say, no weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, God will condemn. It's faith that drives me, friend. And I want to tell you, the church is needed more than ever right now in this hour. I've got a lot of other opinions about what's going on in the world that I'm not really at liberty to say other than this. I just think there's more going on than what the world knows. And I'll just leave it at that. You can call that conspiracy theory, call it whatever you want to. I just believe right now that there's things going on. Kingdoms of darkness are assembling together to try to squish out the kingdoms of our God and light. But I'm telling you, light cannot be distinguished. Light's going to shine bright. And I'm not going to put my light under a bed. I'm not going to put my light hidden somewhere. I'm going to let it shine. And as much as we can, we're going to say, God, use this house and us and the families here to let the light of Jesus shine to the nations of the earth. And just do it, God. This is how I feel about it. So hopefully you do too. But if not, that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion. But I'm telling you, Jesus, more than ever, outside of opinion, this is fact. Psalm 91 is a declaration fact that when you stand in His presence and you're in His secret place, there is nothing that can touch you. Nothing that can come near your dwelling. Anxiety and fear are conditions that are present and prevalent in the heart of the individual that lives absent from the presence of the Lord. Number five, and this is my last one, and then we're going to close. I want to pray for you as well. And also, in just a few minutes, we are going to have our prayer line open again. We're going to have a Zoom link that is there. A Zoom link from our prayer team will be up on the broadcast that you can tune in and pray with our prayer team. And prayer team, you guys can go ahead and log on now and just get yourself ready. Everyone that's wanting prayer, just wait until the very end. I'll give you the cue when you guys can start to call in on the Zoom prayer line. But number five, the final thing that we see, the final fruit or byproduct of not abiding is you become insecure in your identity and insecure in your calling. Insecure in your identity and insecure in your calling. Insecure in your identity and insecure in your calling. You know, again, who you are is who you are when you're in the presence of God, when you're with Him, seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I want to encourage you right now just to take this time, turn on some worship music through the week. Take this time to block out times with your family. Build an altar. Take communion together. Break out some worship music. If you play an instrument, start singing together as a family. If you have more time right now than you ever have and you're just at home, take a walk with your family and say, you know what, we're going to spend this time postured together with the Lord. I want to encourage you, go on walks by yourself with the Lord, you and the Lord. Just walk down the sidewalk for a little bit. Go in your backyard. Sit with Jesus in this hour. He wants to speak to you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to show you things about Himself. Most importantly, friend, He wants union with you and a level of personal revival that comes out of that, that you don't just sustain yourself off someone else's gift, grace, or anointing, but you carry your own flame, your own revival. That when we get to meet together again, imagine what Jesus is going to do. I tell you, I can't wait till we meet again together. And all of these private fires that have been cultivated in the secret place at homes, and we come together in anticipation and expectation. When we get together, I'm telling the enemy overplayed his hand, because when the church starts to assemble again, I'm telling you, some of you that church used to be an option, and now you're like, man, I just can't wait to get back there. There's going to be a different framework in our thinking, in our mind, when we assemble together again. And I'm telling you, the powers of darkness will be overthrown, and the kingdom of God is going to start spilling out of churches all over Canada. Friend, I'm encouraged about what's happening in the church. The unity that's taking place in the Church of Canada. The unity that's taking place in the body and bride of Christ all over the nations. Where we're saying, you know what, how can we help you? How can we help you? I'm hearing reports of churches that have live stream capabilities that are just letting other smaller churches that don't have all that, and they can't use that. I'm going to tell you, we're going to do that. If you're a friend and a partner of this ministry, reach out to us. We want to help you. We're not going to maximize and try to make a business out of it and start selling it to market off someone else's weakness. No, we're going to be a blessing and help you. If you're a pastor, a minister that I know in this city, reach out to us. We'd love to take our resources and help. Because I just believe right now there's a strength and a unity that the Father is doing in the corporate church. The church was never about a building. It was never about a temple. Jesus always meant it to be about altars and tables. And listen, friends, that happens in homes, parks, neighborhoods, grocery stores. I think God's shifting the paradigm right now of what it really means to be the ecclesia. It was never meant to be a building. It was always meant to be a legislative governing body in the earth, decreeing what heaven decrees, binding and loosing. Amen? So Father, I pray right now for our viewers. I just declare Psalm 91 over them. I declare grace to be launched into the secret place of the Lord. Grace to abide. Father, I ask that you would arrest all restlessness in hearts and in minds. Restlessness that can't just sit and be. I declare peace over your heart and spirit to be able to sit and just be with the Lord. He wants to sing over you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to intimately dwell with you. And Father, I just declare over the bride of this church, over the bride of the nations, the global church right now that's watching, I just declare the peace of the Lord rest on your home. I declare peace be still over you. Be still, O my soul. I declare it right now. Be still, O my soul. those that are in calamity and confusion and chaos, those that have even lost jobs recently. I declare, be still, O my soul. I declare ravens are coming right now. Ravens to and fro, bringing you sustaining nourishment, spiritual nourishment and provision in the name of Jesus. I declare provision over your household, provision over your family. I declare your home is blessed. I declare your church is blessed. I declare your family is blessed. I declare your children are blessed. Your job is blessed. Your money is blessed. Your city is blessed. I declare your province, your state, and your nation is blessed. Right now, we bless Brazil that's watching in the name of the Lord. We bless Florida and all our friends in Florida and South Carolina and Georgia and Louisiana that's watching this morning. We declare Louisiana is blessed, and I declare Alabama is blessed, and Idaho and Illinois. I declare California is blessed in the name of Jesus. I declare Texas is blessed, and Hawaii and our friends in Puerto Rico watching. I declare Puerto Rico is blessed this morning in Jesus' name. I declare Alberta, you are blessed. You are blessed, Alberta. You are blessed, Saskatchewan. You are blessed, Manitoba. You are blessed, British Columbia. You're blessed. You are blessed, Northwest Territories. You are blessed, Yukon. I declare you're blessed. You are blessed, Ontario. We just declare over Ontario and Quebec, you are blessed of the Lord. You are blessed of Yahweh. I declare peace over your province. I declare the kingdom of heaven touching your province now in Jesus' name. I declare coronavirus levels going down. I declare right now people with coronavirus that are sick in their body, I declare that it's leaving now in Jesus' name. And I say that if you're infected, it's not going to spread. I declare a stop to the spread in this nation in the name of Jesus. I declare Prince Edward Island, you're blessed. I declare Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. I declare right now, I'm missing one. Who am I missing? Newfoundland, I declare you're blessed. We can't forget about our Newfie brothers. PEI, you're blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And I declare peace over your soul, health over your soul, health over your mind in Jesus' name. Right there where you're at in your home, I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you just to lift your hands towards the Lord, and I want you to say, thank you. Thank you, God, that I am blessed. Come on, right there with your family, just lift your hands. Lift your hands with me. Come on, we're not separated by time or space. Some of you are still sitting there and you're contemplating, am I going to do this? Yes, you. I'm talking to you that's sitting on your couch. Stand up right now. Lift your hands towards heaven and declare this with me. I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because Jesus is with me and the life of God is in my lungs. Go ahead and take a deep breath. That's the life of God in your lungs. You are healthy and you are whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.